Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works and we're on page 64. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 today. And it starts with, we did exactly the same thing with our lives, and then ends with, considered its common manifestations. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joanne B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K., and reading the text today would be Shannon M. and Kara L. Also then we got newcomer greeters and sponsor name getter. That would be Wendy B., and then Leslie M. will give us some announcements a little bit later on in the end of the meeting there. Thanks so much for that service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 13582. That's 13,582 for Monday, October 28th, 2019. And then for today, we had a meeting this morning at 7 a.m. That would be Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Share ID number is 13586. 13,586. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri. These are our 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And what is asked and required here is the star 1 function only on your phone for muting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 64, unpacking paragraph 2 today, which begins with, we did exactly the same thing with our lives, and ends with, considered its common manifestations. And I'm going to ask Shannon M. to please read that paragraph and then unpack it for us for 3 minutes before we open it up to the general public. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. And what came to mind for me with this is I had to be entirely abstinent in order to take stock honestly, and I had done inventories over 9 years in another program, but I was still using food, and I was still eating my alcoholic foods, and so I wasn't able to honestly see what my damaged and unsalable goods were. But then when I did, when my higher power finally revealed those things to me, It was really, it was hard to look at that. I had to see how I had been very emotionally abusive to those that were around me. So something, you know, that was on my inventory of being resentful at people that had done that to me as a child, I was then repeating that exact same behavior. And it was really hard for me to see that, but I was able to see like that was a flaw in my makeup, and it definitely was causing me failure in all aspects of my life. But it wasn't until I was able to honestly see that that's what I was doing, and that myself was manifesting its way. You know, I was super selfish, and my way of getting what I wanted was being emotionally abusive. You know, that was my self-seeking part, trying to control and do everything I could to get what I wanted. And so for me, I loved my fourth and fifth step because it gave me freedom and it allowed me to see those behaviors and see those patterns and flaws that were causing me failure, and then I'm able to go on to 6 and 7 and like humbly ask my higher power to remove those from me, and to see the progress in those. But had I not have done my fourth step and not have took stock honestly, like put everything down, even the terrible things that I didn't want to see, then that never would have been possible. And I wouldn't have the recovery that I have now. So I'm just really grateful that my higher power put me in a position at that point to honestly look at that and see that and then be able to continue to grow in that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Shannon M., now the lines are open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 64 of your big book. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, slowly, I can catch you.
Stacy J.
Jackie H.
I have
Wendy
K.
Kathleen O.
Jackie H. And I have Kathleen O. Unfortunately, I'm hanging out of turn here.
I'm BB.
I have Patty D. Did I hear Stacy? I did Stacy J.
Yes.
I got
yes.
you first. Okay, great. Thanks. Gotcha.
Irene B.
Irene.
Evan Blum. Evan B.
Evan. Evan B.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's stop with that. Let's go with that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's Evan B. Okay. This is what I have in the order that I've heard it. Well, in the order that I was able to grab it up. My apologies. It is out of order. Stacy J. Jackie H. Where's the Jackie K? Well, you'll tell me when you're here. Kathleen O. Patty D, Irene B, and Evan B. So you're up first, Stacy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. This is Stacy J, recovering food addict and compulsive overeater from Toronto. I'm shortly out of this paragraph, actually. After years of relapse, probably 7 years of relapse, I followed the directions that the people in this meeting had suggested. And after 2 days of abstinence, which wasn't easy, but after 2 days of abstinence, I began working the steps quickly with a sponsor. And when I did this inventory, I now have 45 days of continuous abstinence, which is an astonishing miracle, mainly because I'm very aware that I'm not doing it. And it's not a white knuckle thing at all. It's very peaceful. All I'm focusing on is working these steps. So this paragraph, I did undertake an inventory. And years ago in my food addiction, I had done an inventory slowly. It took me months and months. And this time it took me about 4 days because that's what my sponsor suggested. So, the perfectionist in me wanted to take forever. And you know what? It wasn't necessary. My sponsor was absolutely right. Not necessary. I just worked quickly. And it took about 4 sessions to give it away. But what I see when I look at this paragraph is what became clear to me is that wasn't clear to me before was all of the manifestations of self that caused me great discomfort and generated many, many resentments. You know, I saw this sort of, that the way I processed many, many interactions was to feel not important, to feel less than, to feel inadequate, and therefore sort of to have a resentment against someone else, even though that they weren't doing that to me. That's just where my disease would take me, is to feel unimportant and less than. And the self, the selfishness and self-seeking through my inventory was just, it was very shocking to me. At a certain point, I went back through it and started highlighting all the times in green because it was so prevalent. So I'm grateful that I followed these instructions, and that one would think that finding out all of your flaws would be an unpleasant experience, but I actually found it very enlightening and liberating. And I'm about to go out today to make an amends to a former boss for slacking off in the contract that he hired me to do. And I am scared, but the freedom that I have been getting with food and just spiritually feeling so much lighter and physically lighter is worth it to me to go ahead and apologize for my conduct. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Stacy. Appreciate that. Jackie H., is that you? Good morning.
Yes, yes, it is.
Kathleen. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered over-compulsive eater, bulimic and anorexic in Colorado. I love this, that we're doing this. I love reading this with you guys. I have marked here in the margin that, and my sponsor told me this, of course, I wasn't something I discovered, that I was going to uncover, discover, and discard. And I remember when I did my first, many years ago in another program, my first fourth step, it was forever, it was a book, and it was all, it really was concentrated on the harms that people had caused me, and it was my life story, right? And yet this says here that we are just to uncover, discover, and discard. That doesn't sound so scary, and I did this quickly as well. And what I did discover is that it says here that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated me. It didn't say anything about the stories that I had wrapped around, the different things that had happened to me. Yes, there were some things that happened to me that was beyond, absolutely beyond human belief. You don't want to go there. But my, for the most part, it was the character defects that I was going to discover here and then get to discard. And that is exciting to know that my life sucked because of my character defects, not so much of what happened to me. And so this step four was absolutely so freeing. And I continue every day, right? I didn't have to take weeks and weeks and weeks. And maybe I may have missed, I was totally honest and did the best that I could. But there are other things came up afterwards, and I took care of those. I continue to take care of those with a 10th step. But anyway, I think that's all I have to share. I am just so grateful to be here. Thank you all for being here as well.
Thank you, Jackie H. Now we're going to have Kathleen O. And then after Kathleen O will be Patty D. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning, Melanie. Sorry, I came in a pileup of names wanting to share on this. So I'm Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And first we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. So no one's perfect, we're humans. So in that sense, we all have imperfections. And being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. So when I think of the word self, I think of self-will, selfishness, self-seeking, all those wonderful traits that always got me in trouble. And when I manifest self, it's apparent that I'm the cause of my pain and misery, that my problems truly were of my own making. So step four is taking inventory of those imperfections. When I went on a fact-finding, honest inventory, I could put on paper all the what ifs and if onlys. You know, what if that person didn't do or say that to me? If only, you know, fill in the blank. I recently realized that as much as I loved being a latchkey kid because the person who cared for me when my parents worked was not very kind, I was lonely being home alone at the age of 10. And when I looked back, I realized I wanted my mom, who was very kind and loving, to be there for me. So I ate to bring ease and comfort to that loneliness. And then it became a habit. So whenever I was home as an adult, I would gather my binge foods and binge. I wasn't lonely being home alone as an adult, but it triggered this need to eat. And I never would have figured this out without the steps and taking this, you know, inventory on step 4. So where else do we get the opportunity to clean up our past? This is really an amazing program. You know, we're surrounded by people who understand us on this phone line. We're surrounded by people in face-to-face meetings who understand us. And if you're going to the Vision Conference in just 18 days, there's something healing and wonderful to be in a convention room full of people who actually understand you. You know, my day can be consumed with resentments and fear, or I can spend the day being kind, loving, and grateful. I can choose to rise above my flaws, my character defects, my imperfections, and choose to recognize the good in life and the good in people and to come from love instead of judgment and criticism. So this is a process that will unload your baggage. I came in with extra weight on my body, but I came in with about 400 pounds between my ears. And this inventory, this process, allowed me to rid myself of this weight between my ears. And it can for you too. You know, your life will never be the same. And I know for me and for most of us, that's really a good thing. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Right after Patty D has her 3-minute share, we're going to pause for just a couple of moments to be able to talk a little bit further about the convention that you're hearing about here coming up in 18 days. So stay tuned for that, and then after that, we'll proceed. So Patty D, your 3 minutes, please.
Hi. Thanks, Mel. Thanks for your service. This is Patty D, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. When I listen to this paragraph and read this paragraph and listen to the shares, it just brings to mind how selfish I am. And I still am, even as a recovered overeater. I think the 4th step just really showed that to me because, you know, I went through life and I had a lot of abuse from various people. A lot of bad things happened to me. And so that gave me a mindset of being a victim. And I remember as bad things would happen and people would do bad things, I used to think, man, yeah, most people really like me. I'm a good person. I get along well with people. Why is this happening to me? And so I had that mindset of a victim. And so it caused a lot of pain. And when I did my 4th step, and I looked at these things that I had contributed to different situations, the program helped me see that, yeah, it wasn't all them, that I played a part in different things. And even now today, I look at myself emotionally and now I can spot it. And that is such a gift. And now it's so much in my mind, it's my thought. So the 11th step just is wonderful because I see judgments of others and I see selfish motives. And boy, it's sobering, but it's also cleansing that we get to start the day fresh every day and end the day clean. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patty D. And now a moment for identification of the convention that's coming up.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I'm just here happily to announce and remind everyone about the convention coming up weekend of November 15th through the 17th. 2019. It's being held at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at Newark, New Jersey Liberty National Airport. Visit the website at www.avision4you.info for more information and a message board for finding roommates and rides, etc. Registration was extended and is closing up in just 2 days on this Thursday, October 31st. So quickly get your registration in if you're still thinking about going. We'd love to have you there. There'll be several of your fellow compulsive overeaters, up to 800, I've been told, in attendance. And there's also rooms available at the Renaissance Hotel with convenient convention pricing and a speedy limousine service. And I've been told recently that the Marriott has 3 rooms available, and to contact Melanie C. for more information on those rooms at 541-908-1221. Again, rooms available at the Marriott. Contact Melanie C. 541-908-1221. And I can just say from personal experience, I went 2 years ago, and it was a great experience. It was electrifying. There's a part in the big book that talks about, you know, we are not a glum lot. There's laughter. There's tears. There's heartfelt shares. It's just a beautiful experience to be in the same room with over, you know, close to 800 of your fellow compulsive overeaters, many of them abstinent and working a strong program of recovery. So that is electrifying to be in that atmosphere. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz T. And that is absolutely true. There's been an electric maturing and deepening as we've continued to study this big book together over the last 7.5 years or so, that you just won't want to miss this. Invest in your recovery in this way. The benefits are bankable, absolutely bankable. Okay, so let's continue on with our study this morning. Back to page 64 of the big book. We're on paragraph 2. If you were just coming in to join us, we're unpacking that one today. We're going to proceed now with Irene B. to share on her 3 minutes, and then Evan, and then we'll open up for a few more. So Irene B., star 1, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene V., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I think I'm loving this paragraph. I must be the only one. I love this. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered it common manifestations. Okay. So, a lot of things early in life created a lot of damage in my reptilian brain, and it was seared in by trauma. So, that's what I have to deal with. And I learned to reject myself, because at age 6, I became a compulsive overeater, and I became fat. And after, I think, a lifetime of negative messages, and that is by age 6, and that was my life at the time. And then I became a compulsive overeater. And up until that point, I was a precious little child with thin little arms. I was beautiful. I was a beautiful child. And then I became a compulsive overeater, and I gained weight. And my father, my mother left, and my father was in charge of us. I grew up in Catholic boarding schools, and my dad was my mom and dad wrapped into one, and all I wanted was for my daddy to love and approve of me. But he rejected me because I became fat. He could not accept that. It was hard for him to see me being fat. And the world didn't like me being fat. And I learned to really, really, at this point, hate myself. because if only I were different and I wanted a close relationship with God, but God didn't want anything to do with me as I saw it. So he abandoned me. God did. He had. And, oh my God, so much pain and so much rejection, self-rejection. And I learned so many ways of thinking and acting, and I had no idea that I was doing all that. All I wanted is to be a good girl and to be loved, and I was fat. But then I wasn't fat anymore, and I forgot what it felt like to be fat. But the self-hatred, I will wrap it up, remained, and I did not know where they were coming from. You know, I'm remembering what it was like to be fat and to be hurting for that. So I have to pass. My time's up. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Irene. Now we have Evan B., and then and after Evan, we'll open it up for about three more people to share on that paragraph. So, hi. Good morning, Evan. Star one.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. My name is Evan B. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, thank you guys so much for being online and helping out and sharing your stuff today. I recently did a fourth step with a sponsor, and, you know, I'm having an instinct that maybe I should redo it with the Vision for You. I mean, most of my inventory was on myself. And I noticed that it was really difficult for me to write resentments on pretty much everyone in my life. You know, my family, like, it was like, you know, quasi-easy. But I noticed when it came time to write resentments on myself, the pen just flew across the paper, and it was really easy. And I just did, like, a bunch in a row almost automatically. And I'm having a hard time transferring that fourth step and then finding myself at fault with all the things. And I know that's the cause. There's just no way I'm any different than anyone else here in the line. There's no way I'm that special. So, I mean, if anyone has anything to say about that or wants to reach out after the meeting, I'd love to talk about it. But, you know, I did get a little bit of recovery when I did it. But I really think that this is a good call, because I think I need to reexamine that last column, because I know that's where the big meat and potatoes of the fourth step is and where you get the most recovery from. And I found it difficult because a lot of it was towards myself. And my sponsor just kind of had me go through it rather quickly when we were together and didn't, you know, suggest I didn't expand too much on it, but just kind of got it out. And we didn't really, like, analyze or talk about how I was self-seeking in this way. And quite a few things he was saying weren't my fault, you know, a lot from people. So I guess I'm just a little confused, you know. I was just trying my best to follow my sponsor's direction, but I don't know what the best way to go about it was. But I definitely hope everyone is, you know, having a good time with the fourth step and finding some recovery in it. And, you know, if anyone wants to speak how you know, how you can better, you know, get the most out of it with all that entries, especially if most of the resentments are towards yourself. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Evan B. The lines are open now for probably at least three additional folks that want to comment on paragraph two. Everybody else, press star one on your phone keypad, please.
Santa
eight.
Hi, Wendy. Santa, Patty, and Wendy. Let's go with that. Okay, Santa,
okay.
You're up first. In the interest of time, let's do Santa first, and then we'll move on from there. You're on, Santa. Go ahead. Jump right in. You betcha.
Okay, I didn't know you heard me. Thank you so much. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And this paragraph here is getting us, is the final paragraph, in my opinion, talking about why we need to do this fourth step. And then tomorrow we get into the instructions of it. And I like here is that this chapter here, you know, a few pages prior, has been reminding me as to why I need to do this process. It says here that we need to search honesty, and honesty means I cannot do that if I'm in the food, so I have to be entirely absent so I'm not blocked by the sunlight of the spirit. So I need to be able to see what I can see honestly. And so here when it says we search out our flaws, and so that goes back to the fact-finding and fact-facing process. We search, fearlessly our flaws of our makeup. And the great thing I love about this is that, thank goodness, we have a step 10, because it says at the end of the chapter here that we are focusing on our grosser handicaps. And that's what this process here is to do. For me, I feel in the beginning here is to focus on my grosser handicaps, and those are the failures I want to focus on. And with this convincing that self, and self, again, what we talked about these few days, last few weeks, what stands out for me the most is on page 62, where we talked about selfishness, self-centeredness. That's the root of our problem, driven in 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate, and sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but invariably we find at some point in the past we made a decision based on self, which later put us in the place to be in this position. So I like that here, being convinced that it was self, because if it's self, then I can do something about it. I can change me. I can't change anybody else. And so the various manifestations I just shared on that. And so where it says was what defeated us, so it gives me back to power. It gives me back to power to change me and consider the common manifestation. So it's just common, so the general ones. And this is what I love about this paragraph here. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Santa. Next is Patty T.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. And there's a word in here that's really important. Honestly. You know, for me, I am steeped in dishonesty. That's just the nature of who I am. I am a dishonest person. And by that, I mean most of my life has been lived and experienced in denial. And denial is a form, a manifestation of dishonesty. So when I came to my first fourth step, and I took a long time to do it because I just enjoyed it so much, I thought I was being honest, and I was. I was being as honest as I could be at that time with the level of recovery that I had, okay? And I think that's really, really important, because this first fourth step is teaching us, or me, exactly how to discover and recognize these manifestations of self, many of which never occurred to me, many of which I couldn't even relate to. For example, wanting someone to take care of me, equaling control, seriously? I thought wanting to control someone else or to take care of someone else was control. For me, it was a really, really mind-blowing experience. So the next time I did a fourth step, I focused on resentment. And I came up with those, and I honestly looked at those, right? But I wasn't willing to let them go yet. I needed to chew on them a while longer because many of them had just been discovered. And I was 56 years old at the time, 56 years old, living in this denial. And you know what? It's all okay. Because this fourth step teaches me how to do this tip step every day. And I am recovering today because I get to learn how to be honest on a daily basis. And honestly, I can't say that there's anything that I'm more grateful for. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Wendy, it's your turn, Wendy B. Your 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, you know, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. And I heard on the special edition on Sunday the statement, I need to move from self-sufficiency to God-sufficiency. And I'm in the process of reducing my significance and increasing God's significance. And I was reminded of the verse, you know, that says, He must increase and I must decrease. And that this is a process of ego deflation. And I get to do this work, you know, of pinpointing the things that block me off from God, you know, that hinder Him shining His light through me. you know, the things that occupy space in my mind, you know, and make it hard for me to hear his gentle whisper, you know, and all the things that compete for my attention, the things I've made into little gods that I worship, you know, instead of the true God deep inside of me. And I get to stop playing God myself, you know, thinking this world was made for my enjoyment, my ease and comfort, you know, and that I'm the center of my universe. And I get to lay aside my self-centeredness and all the ways it manifests itself and acknowledge God, you know, on his rightful throne as the creator and the one whose purposes will be accomplished. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. With that, it actually opens up some space for probably two more people to share for 3 minutes. Those folks went a little bit less on
Polly
time.
B.
So if you're interested,
Linda R.
Linda R. Let's go with those two and see what happens. Polly, you're first. Go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Team Tuesday, for your service. Polly B. Grateful to be living as a recovered compulsive eater today. And on the 8 o'clock meeting, someone said something that is my truth as well. It was said that the resentments covered grief. And it took me, 10 years in another program doing the fourth step the wrong way. And one fourth step, my first, in this program, and it took 8 months to get to step 8. And that didn't work. And so when I had a recovered sponsor who guided me through all the steps, I did the fourth step, I think the way it's intended and explained here, that to reveal the common manifestations of how myself had defeated me. And the example, for me, the process, how it works and the results, was the grieving for me that the resentments had covered was grieving not only for people who were deceased, but that my expectations of them would never be fulfilled because they were gone. And that realization led me to see the common manifestations of that, how I had carried those expectations, projected them on other people, and thereby continued to live as a victim, being victimized by my resentments, not those other people who did or did not do something. And that was the harm I was doing to others. And so when I came to that, I had a spiritual experience because I was freed from being a victim and the harm I was doing others. And that freedom from self-perpetuating, sticking in that rotten inventory, opened the door to receive my higher power, which I didn't have at that time. I was borrowing one. So this opened the lock to the jail where I had been keeping myself. And it was a tremendous freedom. And, you know, after I did that and got in touch with fears, then I got down to the meat of it, that what I hadn't received and what I expected from others and wasn't receiving was attention. And the root of that was literally love and food. My fear was manifested as hunger, physical hunger, but also hunger from this hole, this spiritual hole. But now, as a result of opening that jail door, I am relieved because higher power is doing that work for me. But I need to keep the door open in order to receive that. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Polly B. Linda, it's your turn.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And I feel so blessed to be on the line today and to be listening to all my fellows, my sisters and brothers in the process of recovery and talking about the fourth step inventory. And what I'm getting today from this is that I am so happy that I feel that I can relate and identify with everything that everyone is saying. And it makes me feel really grateful that I can take someone through a fourth step inventory with a program of depth and weight. And, you know, I've been in program my entire life, more than half my life, and I've done the inventory process many times. And the first few times, really, I got so into analysis paralysis and lots of shame and guilt about, you know, what I was discovering in the fourth step. And there was one period where I did it about 6-7 years ago where it took a year to take me through the fourth step with my sponsor in a different, you know, venue. I did it the last time, and it was really great. And now when I take my sponsees through, I take it through as well with these, you know, with the manifestations and the patterns. Like, I really believe that every time I hear it, I grow myself and I get more aware of the spiritual enlightenment that the fourth step unlocks for me in my process. And the repetition of hearing everyone today, also, I'm enlarging my spirituality, just hearing other people. And I take notes because I write things down so that I can remember and look it over. And so when I'm sharing this, I can also have some other insights for my sponsees. So what I'm really sharing is that I heard someone say this. I'd never had a real spiritual awakening where I saw a bolt of lightning. I have had a spiritual experience, and I'm still experiencing it. And through this fourth step, I uncovered a lot of patterns for myself. That the biggest one for me was that I wasn't valued and respected. I wasn't loved. I wasn't heard. And I'm able to now, when I do my 10th and my 11th at night, I could zero right in through the fourth step because, you know, the program has taught me this plan of life, this plan of action, and my design for my daily living. So I just wanted to share that. The fourth step, if anyone is new and afraid, it's the most unbelievable experience of ego reduction it has been for me. And I continue to ego reduce as I share it with my sponsees and give it away regularly. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Linda R. Hey, we're going to piecemeal this. There's time for one two-minute share. If you want to jump on, give me your first name. Now we have about a 90-second share. First name, please.
Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra. You can have that 90 seconds. What's the first initial of your last name?
C.
C.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Well,
you're on.
I'm returning to OA after 10 years. And I'd just like to say I'm grateful to all of you for all of your shares. For Melanie, for all of your service. I've been listening for the last 3 days, and I've gotten a lot of abstinence from that because I was totally out of control. So I just like to say that I am a 45-year vegetarian, compulsive overeater, and I'm looking for a sponsor along those lines. So my telephone number is 702.
Wait, no, we need to hold, Cassandra. We need to hold that until the unrecorded time. Yeah, hold that, please. We don't want this to go out on the internet. You won't like that. You won't like that at all.
No, okay.
Because this is a recorded line. Yeah, you won't like it. But, yeah, we get what you're saying, and listen up. We're going to get some sponsors right away now. So sorry for the interruption. I just wanted to protect you.
Okay, thank you, and have an excellent day, everybody.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, that's going to be the end of our sharing time this morning. Thanks so much. That was Cassandra. And anybody that's, you know what she said. So great. Excellent. So now that we're going to stop with our recorded portion of this meeting, we're going to close up shop here. And thanks so much, everyone, that made this meeting possible by being dedicated and committed to the service work that happens here. Please join that workforce anytime, any place. So if I could have Kara L., please read page 164 in our big book, which is, our book is meant to be suggestive only. I'd appreciate that. Hey, Kara.
Good morning. Hi, this is Kara L., Long Beach, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep